This is the Down East Journal on Public Radio East. It finally feels like autumn. The sun is out, the leaves are falling. A sense of normalcy has returned to eastern North Carolina after Hurricane Matthew nearly 2 weeks ago. But there's still a long road of recovery ahead for our area.
And sadly, we even had caskets and pigs and other things floating around. So the pigs were running around, actually. So we want to help people in Tarboro and Kinston.
Many people are still displaced from their homes because of flooding. Businesses inundated with water spent this week cleaning up and assessing damage. On Monday, I traveled to Vanceboro, where the Swift Creek and Neuse River levels were just starting to fall. Many residents along River Road, Streets Ferry Road, and Piney Neck Road were evacuated last week as water levels rose and surrounded their homes. Dana Drake is the owner of Drake Farms near Vanceboro. She had to use a John boat to survey damage to her property.
We're 6 feet in the driveway. Our goat barn, livestock barn, chicken barn, all that stuff, it's head high in there. The house, we liked about 18 inches before it got in the house, so it's just under the house now.
A few days after the hurricane, Drake says they noticed the water level rise on their 27-acre farm on River Road. That's when they moved their livestock to higher ground.
Floyd, we got a lot of water in a little amount of time. This, we had numerous days to prepare, assess, and move in stages however we needed to do.
The floodwaters are gradually receding, but Drake doesn't expect to get into her house until next week.
We're going to have to gut the barn, but as far as the house and the land and all, it's still covered in water. I don't know.
The Drake family has a storefront business on Main Street in Vanceboro. It used to be a hardware store in the 30s and is one of the oldest buildings in town.
We boxed everything up before the flood that was in the store for the merchandise, and now we're putting it back out so we can open tomorrow.
Swift Creek runs behind the building. Fortunately, Drake says water didn't come inside.
The back of the building has got pilings that are cinder blocks, and it was 1.5 from it. From coming in, before it started dropping, so.
Wow, it's pretty close.
Yeah, to be safe than sorry, we went on ahead and packed everything up just in case it did come in. But as far as I know, this building's never flooded.
Surprisingly, the 80-year-old structure has stayed dry through some of the most destructive hurricanes in state history, like Floyd, Fran, Donna, Hugo, and Hazel. It was a different story a few hundred yards away. Barricades with road closed signs were set up on the bridge blocking Streets Ferry Road. Water submerged the road and completely surrounded several homes in the distance. A couple blocks away, there's a Red Cross shelter at Vanceboro Farm Life Elementary School. On the other side of Main Street, volunteers with Christian Help Center sorted through piles of clothing, diapers, cleaning supplies, and food donations ready to be handed out to flood victims.
Gently used stuffed animals, toys, games, useful stuff, especially when people start moving back into their homes.
Board of Director member Jeannie Dunn says more than 20 people from the community dropped off donations Monday morning.
A lot of people lost everything and have to start completely over.
The nonprofit Christian Help Center is a Red Cross partner. Acting Director Terry Jameson says they'll be busy for the next several months helping people in Vanceboro recover from the flood damage.
It takes a long time to get things back right, and especially, you know, parts of the community have been wiped out. So our goal is to go out and to, you know, help them get back to somewhat of a normal life as well as it could be.
Recovery is beginning in Kinston. On Tuesday, at Lenoir County Emergency Services Building on Rhodes Avenue, I spoke with Director Roger Dale about the widespread flood damage in Kinston along the Neuse River Basin and in the northern part of the county near Continia Creek.
I think right now they've got about 200 and some homes as of this morning. I think of those 200 and some, 80 of them had major damage. The rest of them were probably mild damage. Again, until the waters go down and we can get in there, we won't have an exact number.
In the Neuse River floodplain, he says there are over 800 homes and about 170 businesses that had the potential to be impacted by flooding. More than 200 rescues were performed Saturday night as floodwaters rose above levels measured during Hurricane Floyd. Unfortunately, there were 4 fatalities in Lenoir County, making it the county with the most storm deaths in the state.
But I'll be honest with you, when we look at the amount of water we had come through here and the amount of rescues that was done, I'm really surprised it's not more than that.
Evacuations played a part in saving lives, as well as mitigation efforts after Hurricane Floyd. The city of Kinston and Lenoir County bought out over 800 homes in flood-prone areas. Moving forward into the recovery phase, Dale says the true devastation from flooding will be realized.
If you go to the shelter and see some of the people in the shelter, it's really a sad thing. I mean, it really is. We've got people there that we brought out Saturday night that don't even have shoes. You know, so it will be a long process. It will be a long process. I would like to tell people that if you had damage from Hurricane Matthew, the first thing you must do is contact FEMA. You've got to register with FEMA.
Dale says Lenoir County, as well as Kinston, LaGrange, Pink Hill, and Grifton, have been declared for individual and public assistance. More than 330 personnel with the National Guard, Army Corps of Engineers, Baptist Men, and other organizations are on hand to assist with cleanup and recovery. Tuesday at noon, Highway 70 through Kinston opened for business owners only. They were allowed to access the road to get to their store so they could assess flood damages. President and CEO of New Sports Shop, Russell Rhodes, hadn't been back to his store in a week since before the floodwaters rose.
Now, we assumed that we would have water at about 3 feet, 3 to 4 feet. It may have been a foolish assumption on my part because we left some merchandise at just about 4 feet in the store.
Many of the businesses along the usually busy but now desolate stretch of highway have water surrounding them or still inside. Rhodes weaves around orange traffic cones and barrels and pulls into the flooded parking lot of New Sports Shop. Not far away, King's Barbecue and Piggly Wiggly were still inundated with a few inches of water. Rhodes put on waders and made his way toward the entrance. The power is still off inside, so Rhodes goes back to his truck for a flashlight. Right inside the entrance, the ice machine turned over, and the water line is visible on the front counter, about 3.5 feet.
Jared, this is my biggest concern. The merchandise we left behind, we estimated it was going to be this high, and it looks like we nailed it. It did not go over. The stuff we left behind is not wet.
That's good news.
Sure. Oh, you just don't know. All right,
Mark, Rhodes slogged his way around a maze of empty shelves, shining his flashlight around the store and feeling the racks for any signs of moisture.
What is that?
Those are fishing baits, so not so bad. We thought it wouldn't get to that shelf, but it got over that shelf. So that's what, 3 feet, 3.5 feet?
Yeah.
The more we walked through the building, the extensiveness of damages became apparent.
What's that? Oh, that's the flooring for that display. Oh, man.
The carpet had come up and was floating under our feet. A line of display cases in the firearm section had overturned. Rhodes says they'll have to replace all the wall sections that got wet.
The company that's coming is putting two truck-based dryers in here, and they've taken a calculation of the cubic square feet in this building, and they say those dryers can dry this building to the right humidity level in 3 days. And we will, and while they're doing that, they also have crews that will clean and dry the floors. They'll clean what they can and they'll pull out what we can't. And then we have the our crews will be working on these display racks, getting them clean.
New Sports Shop opened in 1953, so it's been through many hurricanes, including Floyd. But Rhodes said he's never had this much damage to his business.
This floor, this carpet's destroyed. We're going to have to replace all the carpet in the store. And we have racks that are destroyed. This is more devastation than I anticipated seeing when I came in.
He estimates the damages could be more than $1 million.
Last time we didn't have insurance. This time we have insurance, and it'll help, but it won't cover it. We have the maximum flood coverage you can have, and it won't cover it. It won't cover it all.
Rhodes is grateful that it wasn't worse. He credits his staff for helping clear out the merchandise ahead of the flooding.
Our amazing staff took all the clothes into 18-wheel trucks and moved it out of the store. So the fact that our damage isn't greater is because they worked so tirelessly for those 16 hours.
Even through the devastation caused by flooding, Rhodes says he's been amazed to watch the community come together and support each other through this difficult time.
I've seen people who normally wouldn't talk to each other, work side by side, filling sandbags. I saw people carrying sandbags that didn't know the business that they were putting the sandbag in front of their door to save those businesses for people who couldn't get here. It is moving to see the love this community showed each other.
Rhodes hopes to have new sports shop open again as early as next week. I'm Jared Brumbaugh. Residents along the Tar River in Greenville, directly and indirectly impacted by Hurricane Matthew and its subsequent flooding, have started recovery. Chris Thomas was in Greenville this week and has this report.
On Monday, the Greenville City Council held a special session during which Mayor Alan Thomas gave an update on the flooding situation.
At current river levels within the city of Greenville, the Tar River are currently around 22 feet. As we know, that is significantly into flood level, major flood level.
The river crested last Friday at 24.46 feet. Though it came about 5.25 feet away from record levels, flooding was widespread, putting parks and apartment complexes underwater for days and blocking major roadways. It's unknown exactly how much of a financial impact Hurricane Matthew had on the city.
Is that your window? Maybe on your dresser.
On Wednesday evening, I visited the King family, Maggie, Darris, and their 4-year-old daughter, Ella. They live in the flood zone, just outside of the city's limits. Their home and their lives were unscathed, but the flooding was close, very close.
The water came up probably within 3 feet of our house. The water the houses in our neighborhood. We are directly beside a golf course and a pond at the beginning of the neighborhood as well. So all of that, including the street that leads up to our neighborhood, was completely underwater. I would say a good 5 to 6 feet.
The storm was a first for Maggie, and she said it was a jarring experience, especially after first responders canvassed her neighborhood Sunday, telling residents to get out and find shelter elsewhere.
It was scary. I'm from Charlotte, so we really don't have situations like this happen, really. And especially when the hurricane happened and we didn't even lose power. It was just very abrupt. It felt like, you know, we were a last-minute thought to come in and warn us, you know, like that.
They stayed with a friend for more than a week. Many of the streets leading up to their home were unpassable.
The road that leads out to our neighborhood still is covered in mud and soot from it just receding, I think, within the last 36 hours.
As the week progressed and the water receded, more residents returned home to assess the situation and figure out what comes next.
Recovery. We've now moved to the next phase in this process as we work to get this community back to a sense of normality as best possible.
Recovery may be more intangible than tangible for the King family in Greenville. While their belongings were unharmed, their psyches were shaken.
I felt like this was a trial by fire in Eastern North Carolina life. You know, I'm a little less willing to feel comfortable about the water now. You know, I think that I'm always going to be on the verge of knowing that this could happen at any time, just so that I'm prepared. I definitely think that if another storm like this happens, I'll know, like, look, we need to go ahead and pack up because we know this is going to affect us this way.
That's not to mention the recovery needed in Goldsboro, where Darris is from and where members of his family still live.
They were without power for 2 days. The grocery store was flooded. But my mom was able to go to work, but my stepfather was not. So he has to work in Wilson because his job's underwater still, and they're cleaning it out.
Darris remembers Floyd and its aftermath, and he worries some things will repeat themselves, mainly the neglect and, at times, hostility shown toward the city's most vulnerable residents. Recovery, they believe, lies in visibility and empathy.
I remember people on the other side of the bridge blaming the people from the north side for crime and things like that. There wasn't a lot of understanding that their homes were gone, their businesses were gone, and, you know, mentally what that does to someone. So the main point is, with recovery, is hoping that that doesn't happen again, that everyone on this side is taken care of, as well as the people who live in the heart of Greenville, who are by the university and things like that.
At a restaurant in downtown Greenville, Dave Nelson expressed a similar concern. He works for the Department of Homeland Security at Pitt-Greenville Regional Airport. He also worked at the Welcome Middle School shelter in the town's northern end.
I went back up there even though the shelter is closed down, and I talked to some people along the affected areas, and I want to do whatever I can to make sure that they get whatever resources are available, because they had little before and nothing after.
Nelson said working at the shelter was a physically and emotionally taxing experience.
It was very exhausting emotionally and physically for them as well. Even though they had a safe place and they had regular meals and all that, they just seemed drained. And we did everything that we could for them.
Nelson believes recovery isn't simply settling back into normalcy, especially for those affected most keenly by the storm. It will be a joint community effort.
You know, when I've done disaster response in the past, I'm there for a while and then I leave. And you always kind of wonder, how is it going to turn out? But now I think it's going to be easier because, well, one, the loss of life and property was relatively contained. But the other is that I'll be able to see how it turns out.
Eastern North Carolina made international headlines during and immediately after the storm. For most, though, Hurricane Matthew was yesterday's news. But the work is just beginning for some. Matthew, like Floyd, has left a permanent mark on the region, from the lives it claimed, to the billions of dollars in damage it caused, to the incalculable effect it will have on the minds of its witnesses. Maggie King worries especially about the latter.
You know, it really affected our daughter. You know, she was just like the rest of us, trying to keep a happy face on. And, you know, but we all hit our times during last week where we just kind of broke down. I just see this life out here as a little more fragile. But on the other hand, it has given me such a good view of the kind of people who live out here. The kind of people who, like, band together and make sure you're okay, and what I have, as little as it may be, I will share with you to make sure that we're all okay.
I'm Chris Thomas.
This is Jill McGuire, Acting General Manager of Public Radio East. Everyone in eastern North Carolina is being impacted by the current flooding. With that in mind, Public Radio East will be postponing the upcoming fund drive until October 24th. The most important thing that Public Radio East can do right now is to continue to bring you as much information as possible. If you'd like to support PRE now, you can pledge online at publicradioeast.org. Thank you for listening, and be safe.
Some 900 Federal Emergency Management Agency personnel have been deployed to North Carolina to help people apply for disaster assistance following Hurricane Matthew. Homeowners, renters, and business owners can receive help with storm damage and losses that occurred as a result of Matthew beginning October 4th. This week, Mac McKee speaks with Media Relations Specialist with FEMA, Nate Custer, from a disaster recovery center about what types of assistance is available to residents in eastern North Carolina and how to get help.
Nate, thank you so much for being our guest today.
Oh, thanks for the opportunity, Matt. Glad to be on with you.
First of all, who can apply for FEMA assistance in the aftermath of Hurricane Matthew?
Anyone who lives in 27 counties in North Carolina, which have been declared for what we call individual assistance. So those counties range from Gates County up at the Virginia line down to two or three of those counties on the South Carolina line. If you live in that county and you had any kind of damage, be it relatively minor or on the other end of the spectrum, we need to know who you are and where you are.
What does the assistance consist of and what can it be used for?
What it covers on a case-by-case basis, temporary home repairs, and also there's an element that can provide some temporary housing. The temporary emergency home repairs are designed to make your house safe, secure, and functional. To get you back on your feet, not necessarily to make you whole again to where you were before Hurricane Matthew came along, but to do some drywall repair. If there's holes in the house, if there are plumbing issues, things like that, so that people can get back into those homes just as quickly as they can. People will get a call from a FEMA inspector after they register, and that inspector, he or she, will make an appointment within a matter of days to come out and look at the property.
Now, should North Carolina residents register for FEMA assistance, even if they already have insurance?
Yes, because people may be underinsured. So we say that if you have insurance or don't, go ahead and register. Now, in a case like this, there are going to be people who do not have flood insurance. Flood insurance is a separate program operated by the government. It is not part of your typical homeowner's policy. The insurance, of course, is your best line of defense. But go ahead and register regardless of whether you have any type of insurance.
Now, what about registering if you're receiving help from the American Red Cross or any faith-based organizations?
That's totally separate. Those are wonderful volunteer organizations that FEMA and also the local and state government agencies work very closely with. Some of what they do, Mac, is more along the lines of immediate assistance, food and shelter and maybe some replacement clothing, things like that. We don't go in and say, well, did you get such and such from the Red Cross or the Salvation Army?
Now, what are the ways to register for FEMA? And I understand there are three main ways that you can register for the assistance.
You do it on the phone by calling 1-800-621-3362. You can go online at disasterassistance.gov. There is also a TTY line for those who have a speech disability or a hearing loss. Those people affected by the flood should call 1-800-462-7585.
What kinds of information does the applicant need to give the FEMA officials?
Mac, it's pretty basic information. Of course, the address of the home where the damage occurred. It must be your principal residence. FEMA does not provide any assistance for secondary or vacation homes. Your social security number, the number of people in your family who live in the home, a general idea of the types of damage that you sustained, a word of whether you have insurance, and very important, a means of contact. Some people are going to be living with family or friends. But that inspector that I mentioned needs to be able to reach you as an applicant and make the appointment to come out and look at your damage.
Now, what can you expect after you've applied for FEMA aid?
Well, you'll get the home inspection. That inspector does not decide on any kind of a dollar amount for a grant. He or she fills out a form listing the type of damage, maybe a rough idea of the square footage involved, what in the home needs to be restored to make it safe, secure, and functional. That information is sent up through the system of FEMA, and other people who are well-experienced in looking at these cases take the information from the inspector, and they will make a decision, again, on a case-by-case basis on a grant. That's money that does not have to be repaid.
Now, if by chance you are refused FEMA aid, how would you appeal the decision?
The best way to do that is to visit one of our disaster recovery centers, which are now in an expansion mode. We have four of those facilities open so far, along with the state. The state is recommending to FEMA where they would like to have the disaster recovery centers. And there are people there that you can talk to one-on-one, get your questions answered. They can explain how to send in a letter of appeal. They can even help you put that letter together. Can I give those locations to you, Mac?
Certainly.
Okay, two of them are in Nash County, one at the continuing education building of Nash Community College. And the other one in Nash County, which I understand is just about on the line with Edgecombe County, it's in Rocky Mount at the Imperial Center. There's also one in Wilson, and there is one in Harnett County at the Harnett County Government Complex. They're open Monday through Saturday from 9 to 5 and 12 to 5 on Sundays until further notice.
I'd like to thank FEMA Media Relations Specialist Nate Custer for being our guest.
Thanks a lot.
And of course, if you need more information about how you can get help from FEMA in the aftermath of Hurricane Matthew, be sure and check publicradioeast.org.
Thanks for listening to the Downeast Journal. If you have questions, comments, or ideas for features, drop us a line at publicradioeast.org.